I'm here to interview you for this project. And anything you want to tell me, we're going to have your record of it. And I'll try to ask some questions that might bring other things to your mind.
Okay, I'll be glad to tell you anything I know. This is Joel Brownstein, and this is July the 13th, 1977. I'm going to try to tell you the things that I have my earliest memories of. I know that my grandfather came here right at the end of the Civil War, which was approximately 1865. And
what was his name?
Jacob Brownstein.
Came to Louisville.
From Russia. I don't remember exactly where he came from.
You know why he picked out Louisville to come to?
Yes, because one of his relatives had come here, had preceded him here. Bernard Schneider preceded him here. And he was my grandmother's brother.
So Bernard Schneider was your grandmother.
He was Aline Bear's grandfather also. So you know that I'm telling you this so that you'll know who it is we're talking about.
Well, we want to know all this. We want to know how long your family's been here and also about the time. So you've told me that.
When he came here, he came alone, leaving a wife and two children in Russia. After getting a job and earning a few dollars, he brought my grandmother and the children over here.
Was one of the children your father?
One of the oldest child was Jenny. She later became Jenny Cohen, and they were Dave Cohen's parents. You probably remember Dave Cohen. It used to be the Levy Brothers, superintendent of Levy Brothers. That was his parents. His mother was my father's sister.
Your father's name was what?
My father's name was Harry Brownstein. And I'm specifying the Aaron Harry because there was another Harry Brownstein. However, they later spelled their name B-R-O-N instead of B-R-O-N. There's a few of the Brownsteins around too here who are related, but they're from the same tribe, so to speak.
What did your father do?
My grandfather was a tailor when he came here, and he couldn't speak a word of English naturally. All they could do was speak Yiddish and some Hebrew and Russian. But he had somebody take him from one factory to another, and they made a rehearsed speech for him, telling the party that they were calling on that he was an experienced tailor. And finally he got to a fellow who said, "Can you make vests?" And my grandfather said, "Yes, I can make vests." So he handed him a bunch of pre-cut vests, which with all the trimmings, the buttons and the thread, and says, "Here, take this bundle and make them up for me."
So, right there?
He took them home. He had a little room somewhere, and he got a coal oil lamp and borrowed a machine and set the lamp on the machine, and he started working, and he made vests until he was through. And he took them back, and the man liked his work, so he gave him another bundle. Pretty soon he was giving him more bundles than he could turn out by himself, so he got another man to help him. The other man was Joe Sotsky. You may have known Estelle's father. And the two of them worked at machines, and pretty soon my grandfather had a little shop of his own. And he soon accumulated enough money to bring his wife and children over here. At the time that he came here, the German group in town had been here for some time, and they had already established Adith Israel Temple. But my grandfather was amongst the forerunners of the Orthodox, and in those days, if you know what a minyan is, there was not a minyan of Orthodox Jews here, and so they weren't able to hold real services. They did not have a shechet, or they didn't have a moil, or any of the things that are normally relate to an Orthodox group. So, but after a few years, they had enough to form a congregation, and they brought in the other things that they needed. But these are the earliest recollections I have, and these are things that were told to me, not that I remember from actual.
You weren't living when your grandfather.
No. My father was brought here at age 3.
Oh.
So you know that. It was quite a few years before I was born.
Sure.
This was probably.
Were you born in Louisville?
Yes, I was born in Louisville, and spent most of my life here, except during the war years when the firms that I worked for moved me around from one place to another.
Well, you came by it honestly when you had a clothing store.
Yeah. The clothing sort of ran in the family's blood, so.
Quite a few immigrants that came over were tailors.
You know, in the old country, or rather Russia specifically, Jews were limited as to what they could do to earn a living. They were shoemakers or they were tailors. They were not allowed to go to school. They were prohibited from attending school, and the only education they had was religious education, and that was the reason why most of them were well founded in their religious faith, but had very little other cultural knowledge. So that'll explain.
Yes, that's your background, Jerry. Yeah. That they're very much interested in this interview. Now start with when you were born, in what year?
Well, I was born in 1907 here in Louisville, and I attended Thomas Jefferson School on Walnut between Jackson and Hancock, and later went to the George Morris School.
Now, were there a lot of Jewish people around you there?
In the George Morris School, the attendance was predominantly Jewish, so much so that when they had a Jewish holiday was observed, they couldn't teach because they probably had maybe 10% of a class on hand.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't do much teaching at Morris.
And they lived, the stores were around there, owned by Jewish people.
I lived in Preston and Walnut at that time, and I lived in various other parts of that area during those years. But most of the people had small stores up and down Preston Street, Jefferson Street, Market Street. That was the area from which the George Morris School drew its students, and
I think that's where my mother-in-law went to school, Amy Miller.
Amy.
Of course, she's 93 now.
Yeah, it's a little ahead of me in school.
Yeah.
So I don't remember.
But I know they were concentrated in that one
in that area
place,
there,
wasn't
yeah.
it? From about what street to what?
I would say from about Chestnut Street to Market Street, and from Preston to Floyd. A few years later, when they became a little more affluent, quite a few of them moved out on Second Street.
Oh yeah.
And
the southern part of town.
Yeah, and some of them moved out on First Street. Some of them moved out a little bit further, but the first migration from Preston Street was towards the Second Street area.
Can you talk a little bit about your religious training, where you went to?
Well, my family were Orthodox, and I didn't go to Sunday school. I went to the Talmud Torah, which was the Louisville Hebrew School.
And that was
on Walnut Street near Brook, on the south side of Walnut near Brook. It also housed the mikveh at that time. And they had quite a large group of boys and girls attending the school there.
Now, the YMHA, Young Men's Hebrew Association, had not been formed yet.
Yes, it had.
Oh.
It was in its first location, which was it had been a private home on First Street. And it was converted into the Young Men's Hebrew Association. I don't remember what year it was, but they were in existence before the building on Second Street was built. And they were in existence for some years, and they had an active going group.
Now you were...
I was too young to be a member at the time.
But you were a member when it moved to Second
Street.
Yes, I was.
My sister was one of the early secretaries there to...
Can you remember who the president was at that time?
At one time, Fred Levy Sr. was the president. He was president during the period that my sister
worked
there.
That's of Levy Brothers.
That's right. Colonel Fred Levy was the president during one of the periods that my sister worked there. And Charlie Nemser was the executive director that my sister worked for. Later, Edwin Chapinski came in, and Lawrence Cook at Mars Grossman.
Lawrence Cook, that I know?
Yes.
Oh.
He was, I'm quite sure he was an executive director there for a while.
And they did have some schooling there, either Hebrew school or...
Not to my knowledge, they never had
Sunday
a Hebrew school.
They did
have some Sunday school classes, and at the end of World War I, they did have classes to teach new immigrants, help them with their English, taught them English.
Oh, yeah. Well, now you told me before that you went to night school there.
No, not there, YMCA.
Well, oh, that's it. YMCA, that's right.
You specified
that.
Yeah.
But then did you enter into the sports there too?
Yes.
Because they had teams, didn't they?
Yeah, I did not play on any of the basketball teams. I played a lot of handball there.
Yeah. Some of the men would go at noontime.
Yes, they had men going there all hours of the day. I remember in those days, Lawrence Grauman was an active handball player. And there were a lot of Julius Leibson, who later became Judge Leibson, was an active handball player. Jack Goldstein was one of the city's best handball players who played there. And
That was a big athletic deal, wasn't it?
Yes.
Handball.
Handball was a... Uh-huh. Of course, they had good basketball teams in those days.
Did they?
You remember,
uh-huh.
They had local championship teams. There were quite a few basketball teams in various groups around town.
And they would play other religious organizations?
Well, they weren't so much religious as they were club teams like Mackin Council and... there were just quite a few teams in the area here that they would play with, and the YMHA had some real good basketball teams in those years. They still got the championship.
They've always done a lot of good work too.
Yes,
that is the center today.
Yeah, today it's called the center. Formerly was the YMHA.
You haven't said what congregation that your father belonged to.
My father and grandfather belonged to Anshe Sfard.
Yes.
Which is now located on Dutchman's Lane. In fact, Anshe Sfard was founded in my grandfather's home. As I told you, when he came here, there was not a congregation of Orthodox Jews. And
yes.
He was a sort of a group leader around here in those days, and they formed the congregation in his home. The Anshe Sfard was farmed there. I think he was its first president, and he was a president in subsequent years, and his youngest son, Louis Brownstein, was also president of that congregation.
Was that the only Orthodox Jewish congregation at that time?
No, that was the first
there
one.
Was
in
one
later
down
years,
on
there was one located on Preston and Fair, there was one on Jefferson Street between Preston and Jackson, and then there was another one on Jefferson Street
Jefferson
between 11th and 12th.
Yes. Now, I remember that one.
That one was called Agudath Achim.
Yeah, I remember that one. I don't know who the rabbi was.
I don't think they actually employed a rabbi. They used to have some sent into them from schools for the high holidays, but they couldn't afford to have a rabbi. It was a very small
company. Your grandfather, you said, started
Atchus Fire.
Atchus Fire.
Yeah.
Was Ada Jeshurun?
I don't think it was in existence in my grandfather's day.
Uh-huh.
That is, in his early days here. However, I can remember, what's the name of it that you just asked me to hear?
Atchus Fire.
I remember when they were on the corner of Floyd and Chestnut across
the
street from George Morris School.
Just a block away from Bruce Shoal.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
No, it was a little more than a block.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Shoal was on 2nd Street, and this was on Floyd.
That's two blocks.
Yeah,
Brooke
that's,
up to
that's 2nd, 1st, Brooke, Floyd.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
The three
that's
blocks,
right.
About four blocks away, actually.
Uh-huh.
But it was a rather old, dilapidated building.
And Adith Israel is about over 100 years old,
yes,
isn't
it's
it?
Quite a few years over 100.
And I think Bruce Sholem is up there, too.
I don't know what
Bruce Sholem was always had their services in German.
That's what I understand.
Uh-huh. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about your early childhood as far as religious, was there any kind of affairs or anything that you went to, dances or anything? YMHA have those
yes,
kind of things?
Yes, they used to have dances, and the YMHA also used to have a camp out on the River Road, which we always enjoyed during the summer months.
Which is now Ben Warsher?
I don't think, no. It's no longer in existence. They sold the ground off after the 37 flood.
Was that for children?
Adults and children.
Oh.
They used to take children's groups out there, and they had quite a number of camps which were privately owned, cabins which were privately owned. But they would take children's groups, and they had dormitories out there for them, and the baseball diamond, and they had quite a bit of activity out there. And of course, we all swam in the river in those days. We didn't know about pollution then.
That's right.
It was muddy, but we still all swam.
But you had a good time, too.
Yeah, we had
even
a good time.
Even in those days.
Yeah.
I appreciate all the information you have given. I want your grandfather's name. I'll write this all down.
He was in the Orthodox circles. He was one of the pioneers.
Oh, yes.
Say, when he came here, there was less than 10 Orthodox Jews. And so he was one of the early ones.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that has nothing to do with it.
What she wants you to tell.
My radio has nothing to do with this subject.
Well, that's all right.
Well.
Do you do anything with your radio, any Jewish?
Yes.
Have you?
I maintain contacts with couple of different Jewish radio operators. There is a dentist on the West Coast who lives not too far from my daughter Nancy. And right now we're in a sort of a doldrums in radio conditions, and conditions between here and the West Coast are very poor. But when they are good, which they are the biggest part of the time, I would have a standing date with him. Every Saturday at promptly at 12 o'clock, I'd call him and he'd be there listening.
Noon?
Yeah, 12 o'clock noon, and I'd call him and he'd be listening for me. When we'd make an established contact, he would then call my daughter Nancy on the phone. He lived near enough to her that it wasn't a toll call. And they have what they call a patch, which ties the radio and the telephone together, they connect them together. And I would talk by radio from here to California, and in California he'd hook my voice onto the telephone line, and Nancy and I would talk up and back together there.
Well, that's interesting. When did you start this hobby?
When I was 12 years old.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's...
Could you get all the different kinds of things that you need for
when I started, playing with radio. It was only for the receiving end of it. I built my first crystal set before WHAS came into being.
Is that right?
Yeah, it dates back that far, and I was listening for WHAS when they opened up their station.
WLW, I remember that. No, that's Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's right.
What's Pittsburgh?
KDKA.
That's the one we used to listen to.
It seems to me.
Oh, this might be an interesting side note that I did teach radio classes at the Jewish Community Center.
Oh, that's very interesting.
For quite a few years, taught boys on how to become radio operators and how to study for the exam, and many of our students have taken the exam and passed it.
They couldn't have gotten a better teacher.
Well, yes, they could have, but we did work with them and helped them get licensed. Quite a few of my boys are now licensed.
I think when some of the boys were in service, didn't you try to get contact with them?
I used to take messages that were sent here by service, boys who were in service across the ocean somewhere to their parents here, and we would take the message and deliver it to their parents.
Yes, I remember that, uh-huh. But you've done a lot of good with your knowledge of the radio.
Well, we try to make it useful.
Yes.
I saw a man this morning. I work part-time, you know, I have a part-time job since my retirement. And a man came in, and I was showing him some things at the store. And he said, "Aren't you Joe Brownstein?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You don't remember me." He said, "But you had my son in a radio class at the center some years ago."
Oh.
Wesley Gersh. And I said, "Where is Wesley now?" He says, "Wesley is a lawyer, and he's working in Washington, D.C. now." I have another one of my boys who is a doctor, and I have one who I'm pretty sure is a minister. I haven't been able to verify this, but I understand he's a minister. His father was a minister before him.
Well, that's interesting. They remember you, of course.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I remember when I had Brent Blue in my class. And he was just 14 years old, and he absorbed this technical knowledge so readily that I was sure this boy was cut out to be an engineer. And I said to him one day, "Brent, are you going to go to engineering school when you graduate from high school?" He said, "No, Mr. Brownstein, I'm going to be a doctor."
Oh.
He told me at age 14 he was going to be a doctor, and he is a doctor.
He knew what he wanted
to
do.
Yeah, he knew what he wanted.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. Can you think of anything else that might be of interest in a interview like this?
Well, Joe had came from a large family.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very common in those days.
Yeah.
This was before they knew about birth control.
How many brothers?
I had five sisters and one brother.
Oh, well, that's not so big. I've heard of 12, 14.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, that's very interesting. Now, is this still going?
Yeah, it's still going. Push the last button on the right and then turn it off.